This Sunday morning, Man Mortimer and Max Raymond sat in the pews of the same church, a little white-steepled one in a glen set among live oaks and 3 acres of clover. The jungle swamps encroached on and squared the glen, deep green to black. Loud birds and alligators groaning in their mating season roamed in songs from bayou to bayou. Some fish walked on land in this season. Cars, just a few of them, sat on the pea gravel, under the trees just outside the windows of the ersatz stained glass colored like the wreckage of a kaleidoscope. Mortimer and Raymond knew each other then only by automobile. Mortimer favored a rotation of expensive foreign sport utility vehicles. Raymond drove the same old Lexus he had bought when he was a physician. Raymond came to worship and to repent, and he wanted a vision. Life heretofore had not instructed him. He had won his wife, a raven-curled, writhing singer of Latin jazz. In a ghastly way, that wrecked him as a doctor. He was a dread-stuffed saxophonist in her band, afraid of his own irony, his insincerity, his ambiguity. Now Raymond had come to repent. He loved Christ, but he yearned for a solid thing to witness, a vision undisputed, because his faith was by no means confirmed. Man Mortimer was slightly drunk, a state unusual if not unprecedented for this quiet man, a gambler, a liaison for stolen cars, and a runner of whores, including 3 Vicksburg housewives. He was small but substantial, with a big head of waved hair and hooded bedroom eyes. In high school, he was a dead ringer for Fabian, but in recent years he was verging towards the dead country star Conway Twitty. At 45, he still retained his looks, and the women he sold kept a crush on him and liked his stares, which seemed to invite them into a dangerous ring of power. His charisma assured the women their lives were broad, deep, and special, and that half the money in their adventures around the boudoirs of this poor county and in their lacier rooms of Vicksburg belonged to him. The law could not touch him, because his bordello was spread in myriad chambers throughout the suburbs, and even underpasses in giant, newish sport utility vehicles, with flattened rear seats, good mattresses, sunroofs tinted by creamy smoke, and fine stereo systems, the aphrodisiacs of new car smell and white diamond mist working side by side. These perfumes and compact discs were chosen by Edie, a gal Friday of his, who otherwise worked as a blackjack dealer in the casino. His books on the car business were excellent, prepared by an accounting genius named Large Lloyd for his build and his hang. An ex-wrestler and permanent bouncer whose pride in his math and tech savvy was so wild it intimidated the auditors who had once looked into the business. Lloyd was a casino employee, chauffeur and gigolo. Man Mortimer owned 3 homes, and he gave parties or mass appointments. He made a point of being nothing like Hugh Hefner, whom he despised for his philosophy and aesthetic pretensions. At Mortimer's parties, there were no drugs, no guns, no liquor more than social. The casino in Vicksburg was clean, even elegant for these fly-specked counties, but its exits were full of ruined persons, many of them women. Edie and Large Lloyd could spot them and cheer them. Mortimer would appear in an exquisite sedan, as if happening in to end the night after some happy day with well-heeled Episcopals, and steer the women to their salvation. He knew the faces and the postures, and he never made the mistake of plying a busted gambler who was pious or gowned in unpurchasable pride. He couldn't afford noisemakers. On the other hand, he can take another kind of woman right off the arm of her escort, who was likely to be broke and puny too. For a man in such despair and trouble, the exit of his consort might seem merely another cloud in a black evening. Mortimer had come to the church service in a spell of nostalgic spite. He wanted to see if the preachers were still as feeble and funny as they used to be when he was a kid. The preacher was Egan, a reformed biker, gambler, and drug addict, still with a ponytail, brown-gray, and a large black Maltese cross tattooed on his right cheek. A man immoderate in both callings, dissolute and sacred.